Good afternoon. Joining me today are Health Secretary Dennis Schrader, Deputy Secretary for Public Health Services Dr. Jinlin Chan, and Dr. Ted Delbridge, the Executive Director of the Maryland Institute for Emergency Medical Services Systems. Thanks to the millions of Marylanders who have rolled up their sleeves over the past 9 months, Maryland is one of the most vaccinated states in America. We have now administered more than 7.9 million COVID-19 vaccines. 96.1% of all Marylanders 65 and older have been vaccinated. 83.6% of Maryland adults 18 and older have been vaccinated. And we have vaccinated 82.6% of all eligible Marylanders age 12 and older. We've achieved these numbers with strong public health outreach, innovative lottery and scholarship promotions, a relentless focus on equity, and without resorting to blanket mandates. As a result of all of our efforts, Maryland continues to withstand the Delta variant surge better than just about any other state in America. Last week, we reported the lowest COVID-19 case rate in the nation. Our positivity rate has declined by 20% over the past month. Our hospitalizations are down 60% from their peak, and we remain well below all of our pandemic surge capacity triggers. While hospitals in other parts of the country are overflowing with COVID patients, in Maryland, COVID hospitalizations are down and account for only 11% of our total hospitalizations statewide. We continue to avoid the surges that other states are experiencing by constantly adapting and evolving our public health response. From day one of this crisis, our focus has been on preventing hospitalizations and deaths. Our initial strategy was one of containment, which evolved into mitigation and then to vaccination, and we have now moved into a phase of maintaining immunity. We are working to get more of those last remaining 16.4% vaccinated, while also beginning the administration of booster shots for additional protection. There has been limited, confusing, and contradictory guidance from the federal government. In spite of that, Maryland health officials and our state team have spent the last several months building the infrastructure for a statewide operation for boosters. Last month, the moment that we received FDA and CDC authorization, we immediately began administering boosters to immunocompromised Marylanders. In addition, we launched an antibody testing program for nursing home residents across the state in order to ascertain their current levels of immunity from COVID-19. This pilot program, which was the first of its kind in the country, found that more than 60% of the nursing home residents tested demonstrated some form of waning or weakened immunity and showed that as many as 1 in 3 were particularly vulnerable. As a result, we issued an order which made all Marylanders 65 and older who are living in congregate care settings immediately eligible for booster shots. Last week, immediately after receiving final CDC approval, Maryland became one of the first states in the nation to authorize boosters for seniors and high-risk individuals. As of today, the state of Maryland has already administered over 78,000 booster shots. We have mobilized a robust network of vaccination providers, including pharmacies, primary care providers, mobile clinics, community health centers, and local health departments. And we have both the supply and the capacity to provide a booster shot to anyone who needs one. If you're confused about boosters, you're not alone. With so much conflicting guidance out there, I wanted to take a moment today to simply give Marylanders the current status. To determine your eligibility for a COVID-19 booster shot, the simplest thing to do is look at your vaccination card. If you received your second dose of the Pfizer vaccine at least 6 months ago, meaning March 30th or earlier, you may qualify for one of the categories which are currently approved, which are everyone 65 and older, everyone 18 and older with underlying health conditions, and everyone 18 and older whose occupation puts them at increased risk, including first responders, healthcare workers, and public transit and grocery store workers. If you're in one of these categories, you should strongly consider getting a COVID-19 booster shot immediately. If, like me, your vaccination card says that you received a Moderna COVID-19 vaccine and you are immunocompromised, you are also eligible for a booster shot. However, there's still no approval or guidance yet on Moderna boosters for the wider population, although the White House this week advised us that this is expected shortly. If you are one of the more than 280,000 Marylanders who received the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine, there is still no federal guidance whatsoever for boosters. I know this is incredibly frustrating, and we repeatedly pressed for, and are continuing to press for, more action. We're hopeful that we will see more progress in the next few weeks. In Maryland, we've already launched a vigorous outreach effort for those Marylanders who are currently eligible for a booster shot. Last week, the Maryland Department of Health issued a bulletin directing vaccine providers to immediately make booster shots available to all eligible Marylanders. State health officials are engaging directly with Maryland nursing and congregate care facilities and with local health departments, primary care physicians, hospitals, pharmacies, and other providers across the state. And this week, our statewide call center began directly and proactively contacting all eligible Marylanders and have already scheduled more than 30,000 additional appointments for booster shots. You can visit covidvax.maryland.gov to find out where Pfizer boosters are available near you. We will also be launching a series of television and radio ads encouraging eligible Marylanders to get their booster shot. The other area where we are awaiting action from the federal government is the approval of vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds. Earlier this week, Pfizer submitted data to the FDA showing that its vaccine is safe and effective for children. We anticipate that approval of this will come by the end of October. With that in mind, I have directed state health officials to advance and accelerate their operation plans for vaccinating children, working closely with pediatricians, school systems, and local health departments. The very encouraging news is that since the start of the school year, we have seen no surge in statewide COVID metrics. The cases that have occurred in schools represent a very small fraction of cases statewide, and we do not see any kind of increased severity among children. There are currently only 11 COVID pediatric hospitalizations statewide, which represents just 1.3% of our total COVID hospitalizations. And as I mentioned, COVID patients make up just 11% of our overall hospitalizations. The most important thing that school systems can do right now is to limit outbreaks and to prevent needless quarantines, is to utilize the robust testing capacity that they've been given. Last year, Maryland introduced a statewide testing program for schools where we immediately made a million tests available for both public and non-public schools. For the current school year, we provided $182 million to local school systems specifically for surveillance testing of the student population, and we have now extended the application period for this program to October 10th. So far, only 13 of the 24 public school systems are participating. Today, we are again urging every school system to take advantage of this program. The Maryland Department of Health's testing program also has an additional 415,800 rapid tests available right now for schools to access. In addition, we have provided over $2.7 billion in emergency federal COVID stimulus funding directly to school systems over the past 18 months in order to keep kids safe. However, nearly $2 billion of this funding still remains unutilized. There's no excuse for any school system to fail to take any steps toward keeping their students and teachers safe. In addition to kids being back in school, the beginning of fall also brings the start of flu season. This year, we're actively monitoring the flu in addition to all of our COVID metrics. Hospitals are facing issues of staffing shortages. We are taking proactive steps to maximize the ability of our hospitals to increase their nursing workforce. Last week, the Maryland Department of Health issued a notice allowing registered nurses or licensed practical nurses who hold a current active license in any other state or jurisdiction to render nursing care in the state of Maryland. State health officials are also strongly encouraging hospital systems to utilize nursing students, nursing assistants, and physician assistants as force multipliers. Our Secretary of Higher Education has again issued a request to the leaders of all of the state nursing programs to once again allow the earliest graduation possible for qualified nursing students. Today, we are announcing that we will introduce emergency legislation to make some of these reforms permanent so that our hospital systems have the tools they need to respond to future crises. Lastly, while nothing is more effective at saving lives than the vaccines, a very effective clinical treatment, monoclonal antibody therapy, the state of Maryland has an abundant supply of this treatment, and state health officials strongly recommend the use of monoclonal antibodies for COVID-positive individuals. It's one of the first things you should consider doing, before having to go to the hospital, when by then it may already be too late. These treatments are available at more than 80 facilities statewide, and accessing them is as simple as talking to your healthcare provider. More information is available right now on monoclonal antibodies at covidlink.maryland.gov. We've already administered more than 13,000 of these antibody treatments, which have helped us avoid approximately 600 hospitalizations and more than 250 deaths. Many more can be prevented if more patients take advantage of these life-saving therapeutics, which is why state health officials have directed clinicians to take actions to step up their utilization of monoclonal antibodies and to make sure that every patient who is qualified for this treatment is offered it. We continue to have one of the strongest health and economic recoveries in the nation, and we continue to work hard every day to save every life we possibly can and to keep us Maryland strong. Now I'm going to turn it over to Secretary Dennis Schrader to give us some more details on our ongoing efforts to boost and reach eligible recipients for boosters.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon, everyone. We've been preparing to provide Marylanders with COVID-19 booster shots, and I'm welcomed the news from CDC last Friday. We've also been calling on the federal government to recommend booster shots for some time and fully support this critical step to further keep Marylanders safe. Throughout this pandemic, we've been clear and concise and want Marylanders to know exactly who is now eligible for a Pfizer COVID-19 booster and where they can get one. There are four categories of people who are eligible. Marylanders who are 65 or older, Marylanders who are 18 years of age or older living in long-term care settings, Marylanders who are 18 to 64 at high risk of COVID-19 due to underlying medical conditions, and Marylanders who are 18 to 64 years old working in settings that increase their risk for exposure to COVID-19. The only other eligibility requirement is that 6 months needs to have passed since you completed a full two-dose Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine series. In other words, you are eligible 6 months after your second Pfizer shot. At the moment, there are approximately 500,000 Marylanders who are now eligible for a Pfizer booster shot. We currently have an ample supply of more than 1 million Pfizer doses across the state. Eligible Marylanders can get a Pfizer booster shot at one of hundreds of locations in our robust network across the state, including pharmacies, local health departments, primary care physicians, hospitals, mobile vaccination clinics, and elsewhere. We've updated our covidlink.maryland.gov so that you can search where a Pfizer vaccine is available near you and make an appointment, if necessary, with a provider. All COVID-19 vaccine providers in the state have received the Department of Health's bulletin that provides them with clear guidance, including that anyone who asks for a booster shot simply needs to self-attest that they are eligible and that no provider should turn anyone away. As the governor mentioned, the MDGOVAX call center will reach out to all Marylanders who are now eligible. On Tuesday, we began calling Marylanders, and yesterday we started sending texts in both English and Spanish. If called, you'll be greeted with a message explaining that you are eligible for a booster and are then given an option to speak to an agent to schedule an appointment or defer. If we reach someone's voicemail, we leave a message explaining their booster eligibility, and we provide information to call us back. The text asks for you to please call us at 1-855-MD-GOVAX, our call center, or visit covidlink.maryland.gov to schedule your booster appointment today. The MD-GOVAX call center outreach also includes options to submit a request for an in-home vaccination through our No Arm Left Behind campaign. It includes rideshare assistance and IR support to troubleshoot access to immunization records. Regarding MyIR, starting next week, Marylanders will be able to access a QR code that has their COVID-19 vaccination in it through MyIRmobile.com, and that will hopefully continue to make it easier to gain access and to demonstrate that you've had a vaccination. All of this is one component of our robust communications plan to proactively encourage those who are now eligible for a booster shot to get one. In addition, we're going to run television and radio advertisements. We've begun posting information on social media, including our GoVax Maryland Twitter feed, where you can find facts and other information that you can trust about COVID-19 vaccines and more proactive communications about booster shots. There is no need to wait to hear from us, however. If you are eligible for a booster shot, we strongly encourage you to get one right away. As I mentioned, anyone who is now eligible for a booster shot or isn't certain can also call our call center at 1-855-MD-GOVAX with any questions. Before I conclude, I want to say a few words about testing and monoclonal antibody treatment. Getting tested for COVID-19 is still extremely important and easy. All one has to do is go to covidtest.maryland.gov to find one of nearly 1,500 locations across the state to get tested. Yesterday, more than 33,000 Marylanders were tested. We encourage anyone who has COVID-like symptoms to get tested right away. Depending on where you get tested and which test you get, you could receive your results immediately through a rapid test or receive your laboratory results within 48 hours from most labs. If you test positive, monoclonal antibody treatment is a critical and life-saving tool that is available at no cost to providers or patients across the state. We are encouraging Marylanders who test positive for COVID-19 or have been exposed to someone with COVID to ask their physician about monoclonal antibodies or go to one of the more than 70 facilities across Maryland that are administering the treatment. Simultaneously, we have renewed our call to physicians to strongly encourage offering monoclonal antibody treatment to patients upon request to prescribe them accordingly. We have a form that we have sent to all providers to complete if a patient could benefit from monoclonal antibody treatment. This form could be sent to the infusion site with the closest proximity to the patient. Providers can also find this form at coronavirus.maryland.gov under resources. To date, as we heard, more than 13,000 doses have been administered in the state, and we have sufficient supply of monoclonal antibodies on hand today. Finally, if you are now eligible for a booster shot, please get one. If you are unvaccinated, please get vaccinated. I'll stop there, and I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Dr. Ted Delbridge, for additional remarks.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Secretary Schrader. Thank you for your continuing leadership. Since March 2020, we have been closely monitoring our healthcare system to ensure it continues to meet the exceptional challenges presented by the COVID-19 pandemic. In fact, several interventions over the course of this marathon have been directed toward optimizing the ability of the healthcare system to respond. Further, healthcare system metrics have served as an important barometer for how Maryland is doing overall. As of today, there are 7,290 patients in Maryland hospitals. Among them are 797 adults and 11 children with COVID-19. Overall, 10% of patients in acute care hospital beds have COVID-19, as do 22% of patients in intensive care units. In fact, one out of every four COVID-19 patients in a hospital is in an intensive care unit. Some metrics are reassuring. The number of COVID-19 patients in Maryland hospitals has remained stable over the past 3 weeks. We hope that signals a peak in the current COVID-19 surge. We are particularly focused on the number of children requiring hospitalization. While any child in a hospital is a concern, the daily hospital census for children with COVID-19 has also remained stable. However, we must not stand down. There are several important distinctions between what we have already experienced and what's to come. Rural hospitals are being disproportionately affected by coronavirus. The hospitals with the highest numbers of COVID-19 patients serve the Eastern Shore and parts of the Western state, where a lower proportion of residents have sought vaccination. And undoubtedly, that's no coincidence. Across the state, hospital emergency departments are busy. They signal the emergency medical services system when they're particularly challenged by declaring a yellow alert. As of this morning, 25% of Maryland's hospital emergency departments were on that status. They are not busy exclusively because of coronavirus, but more so because of the sorts of illnesses and injuries they treat all the time. Marylanders, unquestionably, are back on the go. Finally, last year, we were concerned about the potential convergence of a COVID-19 surge and flu season. Fortunately, that did not come to fruition. All the mitigation factors toward coronavirus were effective at reducing the incidence of flu and other respiratory illnesses. Flu season was uncharacteristically mild, resulting in fewer emergency department visits. Now, people on the move seem less likely to be wearing masks, and we are already seeing more people with an assortment of respiratory illnesses seek medical care. Without question, the people of Maryland are fortunate to have a healthcare system that has repeatedly proven its resilience. This is a testament to the tens of thousands of people who go to work every day in our hospitals, clinics and offices, and in the field. However, those same people are just plain tired of going at more than 100% for so long. Hospital staffing is a challenge, leading to less flexibility to accommodate new surges in patients. Thus, we continue to treat COVID-19 patients at the facilities at Laurel Medical Center and the Washington Adventist Hospital in Tacoma Park. We continue to operate the Critical Care Coordination Center, or C4, helping to match the needs of patients with available resources throughout the state. This week, we will expand the C4 to include pediatric patients and their needs. As I noted, COVID-19 is a small factor contributing to children in hospitals. However, other respiratory illnesses and viruses are affecting children earlier this year than is typical, leading to more emergency department visits and hospitalizations. Each of us should be asking, what can I do? First and foremost, if you have not been vaccinated for COVID-19, please do so. This problem will not go away without you. Also, more than one-third of the people who get COVID-19 end up with long-term health effects. I know that many people still have questions or may have gotten bad information. Please get the answers from reliable resources. Vaccines are exceptionally safe and effective. I wouldn't have gotten one myself or made sure that my family did as well if I didn't believe that to be the case. As Governor Hogan and Secretary Schrader said, if you develop COVID-19, promptly speak to your healthcare provider about treatment with monoclonal antibodies. There is a limited window of opportunity to receive that treatment once you are tested positive, so time is of the essence. Please get a flu vaccine. Flu season starts this week. We must all do what we can to limit the spread of influenza. Otherwise, we create the potential to overwhelm our healthcare system, creating needless suffering and even death. The vaccine is the best tool, and now is the time. And it's available from your healthcare provider and pharmacies all over the state. Pay attention to what actions that keep you and those around you healthy. The rules haven't changed. Wash your hands often. Stay away from others if you are feeling ill. If you are not yet vaccinated, or if you can't be assured that the people around you are, play it safe. Wear a mask. Unfortunately, the challenge has not yet ended, but we know what will carry us to the finish line. Hopefully, we can all do our part, and the healthcare system is doing its part. Thank you.